Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Our Lord performed a wonderful miracle by feeding 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What an amazing miracle. An amazing, great miracle with such a small thing to start with. Our Lord said, "Despise not the day of small things." He can do a mighty work with a small thing. He said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And we know that that faith comes from Him. That's a gift of God. It's not of ourselves. We know that He's the author and the finisher of faith. But He said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, the smallest seed known to man. Well, right after this great miracle of Him feeding 5,000 people with these 5 loaves of bread and these 2 fish, and here in John 6, verse 14 says, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.' When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone." Until the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole earth waited for the coming of the Messiah. The whole earth. Just like we're doing right now, waiting for His return. They waited for His coming. They talked about Him. They quoted scriptures concerning Him. They looked to Him. They hoped in Him. Just like we're doing right now. He said in the Old Testament how He would come, where He would be. Just like He has said in the New Testament how He will return, where He'll be. He said He's going to descend from the clouds and bring the whole host of glory with Him. Well, for generations and generations, people waited for the promised one. One was promised. One is coming. Verse 14 right here in John 6 says, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" This is Him. This is Him. Here He is. We've waited all this time. This has got to be Him. You know, we're going to get to say that. We're going to get to say that. One of these days, the graves will open and every soul and body is going to come forth. And then the trumpet shall resound. And the Lord is going to appear in the clouds. And He's going to come down with the whole host of glory. And we're going to be able to say, there He is. There He is, the one that we've been waiting for. The one that said He would come back, there He is. Look with me over at chapter 14, John chapter 14. Verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I promise. I promise. I will come back. All those that the Father gave to me, I will come and get them. All those whom I shed my blood for, I will come back. Take them to be with me where I am. That's what he said. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 22, the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22, these are his very last words that he wrote for us. The last words written in his book. He says in Revelation 22, verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. I come quickly. And John, under the inspiration of God, writes, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's what he said. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. That's what he has declared. Well, back in John chapter 6, verse 14 says, Then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. This is the one that the scriptures talked about. This is him. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, this is what was written of the one who would come. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 says, The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him shall you hearken. Verse 18 says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Verse 21 says, And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the words which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But if the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. A prophet will come, and the words that come out of his mouth are going to be the actual words of God. How will we know? Here's how we'll know. Everything he says will come to pass. Everything he says will come to pass. How comforting is that? Isn't that comforting? Not one word shall fail. What did we just read? What did he just say? I'm coming back. I'm coming back. They asked John the Baptist, Are you that prophet? John said, No. No, I'm not him. But he is coming. He is coming. Now, here's the problem for mankind. Here's the problem that every man needs to acknowledge. When Christ comes back, all those whom he does not know, all those who do not know him, he will have nothing to do with him. What do you mean, all those that he does not know? I thought God knew everything. God does know everything. But this is what he said. All those who have not been put in Christ, all those who have not entered into the rest, entered into the safety, entered into the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, this is what he'll say to them. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. And then the wrath of God is going to abide on those people. That is the painful truth that must be acknowledged by mankind. We are all sinners. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. And outside of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Look to Christ. Call on Christ. Beg Him for mercy. Outside of Christ, there is no hope. Well, our text in John 6, verse 14 says, Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain, himself alone. Alone. He will not have it. He will not have it. Those men, they saw the miracles that he did and they were impressed. They were impressed. They knew that this has to be of God. Is not this one that God said would come? This prophet that would come? Why don't we make him our king? It seemed that they had good intentions. But our God will not have it. You cannot make him king. So many people say, make Jesus your Lord. You can't. You cannot make Jesus Lord. All who think they can have no idea who he is. No idea. And they're in great danger. I'm telling us the truth. I'm telling us the truth. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 2. If you can make Jesus Lord, then you're God. You know that? Only God can do that. If a person has the ability to make Jesus Lord, then he's God. But look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36. It says, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God hath made him Lord and Christ. Verse 37 says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You know who the promise is to? As many as the Lord our God shall call. Those foolish men, they saw the miracles that he did and they said, I tell you what, why don't we make him our king? You can't make him king. He already is king. He already is. Many years ago, there was a Sunday school class with a bunch of young children in it. And the teacher was teaching from this portion of Scripture right here in John chapter 6. And the teacher asked all these young children, why would the Lord not allow those men to make him king? And a little 6-year-old boy spoke up and said, because he already is king. And that little 6-year-old boy had it right. He already is king. You can't make him king. He was born king. born king. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Wise men, not fools, wise men. What made them wise? Verse 2 says, saying, "Where is he that is born king?" Born king of the Jews. "For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." Worship him. If you're reading along with me in verse 1, it says, "The days of Herod the king," with a little k. Little k king. But verse 2 says, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Capital K. This is the King of Kings. And we're going to make him king? That's the case. We have no idea who he is. He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee." Thee. Our Lord was made to be a few things. He was made to be a few things in due time for His people. King is not one of them. He is, He always has been, He always will be the King. Always. He said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." So I am. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:17, he wrote, "Now unto the King eternal," eternal, "immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. As our Lord hung on the cross, a superscription was written over him in Greek and in Latin and in Hebrew, and it said, "This is the King of the Jews." This is the King. You can't make him king because he already is the King. This is the King of the Jews. Now, I want to just go through a few scriptures and see what the one who cannot be made king was made to be. He was made to be some things for his people. Thank God he was made to be some things for his people. Turn with me over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh." Made flesh and dwelt among us. "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace and truth. Our King, the Word. The Word Himself. The Word who was in the beginning with God. The Word who was God. All the way from the beginning. He was made flesh. Look at verse 31 right here in John chapter 1. It says, "And I knew Him not, but that He should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." He was made manifest. Thanks be to God. He was made manifest to Israel. Made like unto man. Manifest. He said, "A body hast thou prepared me." He was made that. But he was already the king. We can't make him king. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was made to be a man. Made to be a man. This man, Jesus, the one whom nobody respects, they like him just fine. They don't have a problem with him. But they don't honor him. I mean truly honor him. They don't reverence him. They don't fear him. In their eyes, he's just a man like you and me. Is he a man like you and me? Oh, no. He's the king. He's the king. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. Here's the amazing mystery of the gospel. Here's the good news to sinners. This king, this high king of heaven, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's amazing to even speak it. An amazing mystery of God. He was made sin. That is my salvation. That's my hope. Not only that he was just made sin, it's that he was made my sin. There's a song that says, My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. He was made sin. Did he fall from his kingdom? Adam fell. Adam fell from his standing before God. God created Adam, and Adam was good, very good. Adam fell. In Adam I fell. I am a fallen creature. Christ was made sin. Did he fall from his kingdom? Was Christ a sinner? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God the Father said to God the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, his subjects, from their sin. Their sin. It says right here in verse 21, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He never knew any sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took my sin off of me and he laid it upon himself. That I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thanks be to God. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He was made under the law, made subject to the law. God's holy law. Did the law condemn him? No. Because the one who was made under the law made the law. He's the king. It was our king, Jesus Christ, who met with Moses. He was the one who met with Moses in that burning bush. He was the one who met with Moses on Mount Sinai. He said, Moses wrote of me. Moses, Jesus Christ, is the one who gave Moses that law. He said, I'm not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. You see, I couldn't fulfill it. You couldn't fulfill it. No man, no mortal man on this earth could fulfill God's holy law. So God the Son said, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. He came to fulfill the law of God. And the law couldn't condemn him because he fulfilled every jot and tittle. What a king we have. What a king we have. Philippians chapter 2 says, He made himself of no reputation. Isn't that amazing? Hebrews 2 said, He was made a little lower than the angels, made like unto his brethren. Why? If he is the king, why? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5 verse 8 says, Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Isn't that wonderful? He humbled himself and suffered even unto death. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. This is our King. No matter how low he willingly became for us, we still see him as he is, the high King of heaven. A man named Simeon saw him in the temple when the Lord was 8 days old, humanly speaking, 8 days old. And as he held that little baby in his arms, Simeon said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Let me die in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. God's people know that the Lord Jesus Christ does not need anything from anyone. We don't make him anything. We do not at any time see him as Jesus the man. The Lord is our King. He's our King and he's our God. At that exact moment in time, Simeon didn't see him as a helpless child. He saw his salvation. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Look at Hebrews 7 with me. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens. You know why? It's because he's the King. All hail the King. May God make it so that he's our King. Save us, O King. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless his word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.